What do strong-willed kids, hesitant or anxious kids, and perfectionistic kids have in common? So often, it's high sensitivity. And in today's episode, I'm going to show you how all three of these traits are actually related. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place. Because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Welcome back to Raised Resilient. I'm Dr. Hillary, your host, and I am so glad you're here. So I hear from parents all the time that, oh, I have a really strong-willed child, or my child is so perfectionistic, or my child has such high anxiety. And so often when we really dig into what's going on, we figure out that these kids are actually highly sensitive. And these are just three different ways that high sensitivity can manifest. And actually, perfectionism, high anxiety, or hesitation to engage in new situations, and strong-willedness are all rooted in the same basic underlying cause. Now, before we get into what that is and why high sensitivity can manifest in these different ways that can look so polar opposite of each other, right? If you take a child who's really anxious and hesitant to engage versus a child who's more strong-willed and can even come off bossy in some situations, you can think that there's no way that these two kids share anything in common. But I promise you, these ideas are related. Now, if you are wondering if your child could be highly sensitive and you're not sure, go take my free quiz. Now, obviously, this quiz is intended just for informational purposes. High sensitivity is not a clinical diagnosis, and taking this quiz does not replace having your child evaluated if you're really concerned that something more than high sensitivity might be going on. But this quiz is going to give you a really good sense of whether your child fits the description that I am talking about when I'm talking about highly sensitive kids and the kind of kids whose parents I help in my work. This quiz will take you less than 5 minutes, and you're going to get not only a sense of where your child falls on the sensitivity spectrum, but you're also going to get your next steps in terms of how to parent your unique child effectively. So go to raisedresilient.com/quiz. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit more about these three different presentations that we often see in kids that can seem so different, but are actually stemming from the same root cause. Let's start by talking about a strong-willed child. This is a child who always needs to be in control, who maybe has a difficult time hearing no, who pushes back maybe before you even say no, who negotiates and has 1,000 reasons why you should consider not saying no. These are the kids whose parents might say they're going to make a great lawyer one day because they sure can negotiate. I'm raising one of those kids myself. And this, as you can imagine, can be a really wonderful quality. But left unchecked, this can be a child who falls apart every time you say no. This can be a child who becomes so distressed at the idea of being told no. A child who presents as kind of the alpha on every play date and won't let other kids decide what they're going to play because they have to be in control. This can be a child who comes across as bossy even. And these kids can feel so challenging to parent, especially when we don't understand what's really going on and when we don't have the tools to parent them effectively. And then you have the child that can seem hesitant and maybe even anxious. These are the kids that we might label as shy, although if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I don't love that label. These are the kids who need to sit by you at the playground and observe for a good while before jumping in. These are the kids who watch their siblings go down the slide at the water park before they think about trying it. These are the kids who watch and observe and think and analyze before jumping in. Maybe they're slow to warm up in new situations. And while they might have really solid friendships, it might take them a little bit longer to warm up and develop those friendships. They might sit on the sidelines a little bit longer than their peers, watching and analyzing and thinking about whether they feel comfortable joining in. Now, this quality, as I've talked about before, is actually a really wonderful quality because this is a child who is tuning in to their body and their comfort level and deciding to join when they feel ready. This is actually a wonderful quality. But if we don't understand what's actually going on for our kids, we can sometimes respond in a way that makes our kids feel anxious. We can push them to join things before they're ready. We can tell them things like, there's nothing to worry about. What are you afraid of? Just get out there. And that response can actually create anxiety and can make our kids hesitate even more than maybe they actually need to, or can push our kids to do things before they're truly ready, which then creates anxiety and a distrust in themselves, which is not what we want. And then we have our perfectionistic kids. These are kids maybe with really low tolerance for frustration and for things to be out of order or to go in a way that our child didn't expect, right? These are kids who really are hard on themselves, who try really hard to be perfect, who rip up their drawing because it didn't look the way they wanted it to look. And we often respond to these kids in a way that can make that perfectionistic voice even louder, and we don't realize it. And again, I think that's because we don't understand what's really at the root of the perfectionism. So what is it that's at the root of all three of these different presentations? How are they related, even if maybe at face value, they seem to be completely different types of kids? They're related in that all three of these different presentations are essentially attempts to avoid discomfort. Let me say that again, because that's really important. So being very strong-willed and controlling, being hesitant to engage and maybe slow to warm up, and being perfectionistic and afraid to make mistakes and going out of your way to try to never make a mistake. All three of these are attempts to avoid discomfort. And these patterns of behaving and interacting with the world are so common in highly sensitive kids because these kids feel their feelings deeper, more intensely than kids who are maybe a little bit less sensitive. So if as parents, we can understand these different patterns of behavior as ways of trying to avoid discomfort, then we are going to be so much more able to effectively respond to our child in these moments. So let's take the strong-willed child first, and let's talk about how a child who is trying at every turn to control their environment, to choose the game that they play when they're with their friends or siblings, to never have to hear no. The kid who is trying to always negotiate so that they can have things go the way they wanted or expected. The kid who comes off as bossy. This child is desperately trying to avoid the disappointed, frustrated, sad feelings that can come when we tell them no, when someone else chooses a game that they don't like or don't know how to play, when plans change and things don't go the way your child expected. All of those situations cause your child to feel discomfort. It's uncomfortable to feel frustrated. It's uncomfortable to feel disappointed. It's uncomfortable to sit in sad feelings. And so our controlling or strong-willed kids are just trying to find a way to avoid having to experience that discomfort. They're not trying to be bossy. They're not trying to get their way. They are not trying to manipulate you. When kids don't have the skills and support they need to manage discomfort in a healthy way, they are going to try to avoid it. Similarly, a child who is hesitant to engage, who has to have all the information before jumping in, who has to sort of play out in their mind what something might feel like and decide if it feels like something they want to do before they do it. That child is trying to avoid putting themselves in a situation where they might be too uncomfortable, where they wouldn't know how to manage those big feelings. And again, as I've talked about before on this podcast, and I believe strongly, a child who is hesitating is really just listening to their inner compass. And that's a good thing, But when we as parents see it as a problem because we don't understand where it's coming from, we can do a few different things. One, we can try to reassure our child that there's really nothing to be worried about and everything's fine and why are you hesitating, which only disconnects our child from themselves. And that is the fastest way to more anxiety. Or we can decide that our child is so anxious that they are just going to never want to do anything. And we can actually avoid scaffolding them when that's what they need in order to try something new and be successful. Again, it boils down to equipping our kids with the skills they need to tolerate discomfort. So here's an example of what I mean, because I know it can be hard to kind of understand, okay, when do I let my child hesitate versus when do I scaffold them to help them try something because that's what they really need from me. My oldest is one of those kids who always hesitates, who always has to be sure before he tries something. So we took our family's first trip to Disney a few months ago, and he was the kid who would never volunteer to, if you're familiar with rider swap, to be the kid who did the rider swap. Like, he never wanted to ride the ride twice because he hadn't ridden it once yet, and he didn't know if he was going to like it. And I love that about him. I think that's so smart, and that is just such good attunement to yourself and just really trusting yourself. But there were a few rides that I could tell he really wanted to ride and was afraid to even ride them once. And he was kind of hesitating. And I could tell that this was a moment where he needed me not to tell him there was nothing to be afraid of, to honor the fear he was feeling, and also to help him process so that he could stop hesitating and actually make a decision about how he wanted to feel and what made the most sense for him. So I told him, I said, I know. You feel scared. You're not sure you're going to like this ride. You haven't ridden it before. You don't know. And it feels a little bit scary to try something that looks big and fast and intense like this ride does. I really get it. And then I also honored the other part of him that wanted to try it. I gave voice to that part. I said, you know, there's another part of you though. There's another part of you that really wants to ride this ride. And that part of you is going to feel disappointed if you go home and you choose not to ride this ride and you miss your opportunity because, you know, who knows when we'll be back. And he looked at me and he said, yeah. And which part of me should win? I said, I don't know. That really depends on how you want to feel afterward. How do you think you'll feel if we walk away and you don't try it? And he thought about it and he was like, oh, probably feel kind of disappointed because I really do want to try the ride. And then I said, and how do you think you'll feel if you do try it? And he said, I think I might be a little scared, but I think I'll end up having fun because I've had fun on rides like this before. So in the end, he ended up riding the ride and he was so glad that he did. And he actually wanted to ride it again. And then there were other rides where he made a different decision, where he decided, you know what? I would be okay going home and not riding this. And knowing what I know about him, I think it was the right call. Now, it's important to note that I've been building these skills to tolerate discomfort and to tolerate the not knowing in him since he was little. We've been working on this. And so I find that he is much less hesitant because he trusts himself and he is much quicker to make decisions the more data he has about himself and what he enjoys and what he doesn't. But that has taken place over time. And if I had seen his hesitation as a problem and I hadn't understood that he was just trying to avoid the discomfort of big emotions he didn't yet feel equipped to handle, I would have probably tried to reassure him, talk him out of how he was feeling, and pushed him to do things before he felt ready. So now let's talk about how perfectionism is rooted in this idea of avoiding discomfort. So the child who is perfectionistic, who is trying desperately not to make a mistake, the child who is crumpling up the paper at the very first sign that it doesn't look the way they wanted it to, that's a child who is trying to avoid the discomfort of making a mistake. When we can be perfect and we don't make any mistakes, we don't have to feel disappointed. We don't have to feel bad about ourselves. We don't have to feel the shame that often accompanies mistakes for highly sensitive kids. If we can avoid making mistakes, we can avoid disappointing our parents, our teachers, our friends. And sitting with someone else's disappointment or criticism or perceived criticism is really hard for highly sensitive kids because, again, it's really uncomfortable. So when children are presenting as strong-willed or hesitant or perfectionistic, they are actually doing something very adaptive, given that they don't yet have the skills to manage their discomfort. They're doing their best to avoid it. And that makes so much sense, right? If you know that something's going to make you really uncomfortable and you don't have the tools to cope with that discomfort, you're going to try to avoid the thing that makes you uncomfortable. And I'm going to talk more in future episodes about specifically how to respond to each of these kids and how to help them learn to tolerate being uncomfortable, learn to manage and cope with that discomfort. But for now, it's really important to know that these different presentations, while they might be frustrating as a parent, it's really important to understand where they come from. It's really important to understand that the root cause of all of these different presentations is the desire to avoid feeling uncomfortable. Because again, for our highly sensitive kids, that discomfort just feels like too much. And they know that they are not yet equipped with the tools to manage that discomfort. Now, if you are parenting one of these kids and they are struggling, the strong-willed child who melts down multiple times a day because they can't hear no, the child whose hesitation has turned into anxiety, the kid whose perfectionistic tendencies are keeping them from enjoying life. If that's your kid, and you know now after listening to this episode, your goal is to equip them with the skills they need to manage discomfort, but you just don't know how to do it yourself. And you know these are skills that they need, or things are going to get worse and they're going to get harder. I encourage you to book a call with me. Let's talk about what's going on. Let's talk about what's working and what's not. And we'll figure out together if working together more closely is the next right step for you and your family. To book a free breakthrough call, go to raisedresilient.com/breakthrough. I would love to chat with you. So I hope this episode has been helpful. I hope that you can now better understand what's going on underneath some of these challenging behavioral patterns. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode. Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raisedresilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.